Method for a drop with floor shaking low end in Ableton Live 12, with that old school jungle, early DNB vibe, beginner friendly, stock tools, and a method you can reuse every track. Alright, let's build a drop that feels big in the chest, but still clean. The trick is not more bass, it's organized bass. We're going to split the low end into two jobs, a clean, mono sub that's basically your concrete foundation and a mid-bass layer that brings the restyle attitude without stealing the sub space. Then we'll frame the whole thing with sidechain and a simple arrangement blueprint so the drop actually hits. Before we touch sound design, set the session so it behaves like jungle and DNB. Set your tempo to around 172 BPM. Anywhere 170 to 175 is home territory. Keep it in 4/4. If you want a dark vibe, pick a key like F minor or G minor. Not mandatory, but it helps you commit to notes fast. Quick workflow tip for break edits. Set your grid to fixed and go 1/16 so you can slice and nudge without getting lost. Now step 1. Drums. Old school jungle is break driven, but floor shaking modern weight often comes from adding a kick layer that anchors the low end. So we're doing both. Break plus a kick reinforcement. First, your break track. Create an auto track and drop in a classic break. Amen, think. Whatever you've got. Turn warp on. Start with Complex Pro. It's not always perfect, but it's a decent starting point for breaks. Now, adjust warp markers so it loops cleanly for one or two bars. Here's a quick break chain that's safe for beginners. Add EQ 8. High pass around 30 Hz to remove rumble you don't need. If it feels boxy, do a small cut around 200 to 350 Hz. If you want a touch more crisp, a gentle high shelf around 8 to 12 Khz, just a decibel or two. Don't turn it into sandpaper. Add drum bus. Keep it modest. Drive somewhere like 5 to 15%, and be careful with boom. Boom can feel great, but it can also step on your bass plan. Then add glue compressor. Attack around 3 milliseconds, release on auto, ratio 2 to 1, and aim for just 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. You're not flattening the break, you're just holding it together. Coach note, warping breaks can kill groove if you overdo it. If it feels stiff, try switching warp mode to beats and play with the transient settings. Jungle swing lives in tiny imperfections. Don't quantize the soul out of it. Now add the kick reinforcement. Create a MIDI track, load simpler or a drum rack, and choose a punchy kick. Short kicks are usually easier to fit with heavy sub. Program a basic pattern. Keep it simple. Kick on beat 1, then another kick pushing into the snare. The exact placement depends on the break, but think of the kick like an anchor, not the star of the show. Kick processing. EQ 8. Cut below 25 to 30 Hz. That stuff just eats headroom. Add saturator with maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive. Soft clip on. We're aiming for audible punch, not a huge tail. Optional. A tiny bit of drum bus if it needs more smack. Key idea. In jungle, your break is identity. The kick layer is a timing reference and a low-end punch cue. It can be quieter than you think, especially once the sub is in. Now step 2. The sub layer. This is your floor. If you nail this, everything else gets easier. Create a new MIDI track and load operator. Set oscillator at sine. Turn off the other oscillators for now. Clean and simple. Envelope settings. Attack. Basically instant. Like 0 to 5 milliseconds. Release. 50 to 120 milliseconds to avoid clicks and to let notes feel smooth. If you want long-held notes, keep sustain up. If you want shorter notes, adjust note length in MIDI rather than relying on the envelope to do everything. Now write the subline. Old school heavy bass is usually simple notes that repeat and hypnotize. The break provides the chaos, the bass provides the confidence. A classic move is root note, then a minor flavored step like the minor seventh. Then back home, maybe an octave jump at phrase ends. If you're in F minor, an example shape could be bar 1, hold F, bar 2, ebb to F, bar 3, hold F again. Bar 4, C to ebb to F. That's not a rule, it's a vibe. Your job is consistency. Extra coach note that matters a lot. Pick a sub note range and commit early. Most systems translate best when your main sub notes live around F1 to A1, roughly 43 to 55 Hz. You can go lower, like E1 or D sharp 1, but you'll need more headroom and tighter control. If you notice your whole mix feels like it gets quieter when the sub hits, you're either too low, too loud, or both. Now process the sub for control, not wow. On the sub track, add EQ 8 and low pass around 90 to 120 Hz. The sub track's job is sub. Don't let it creep into mids. Add saturator very gently, like 1 to 3 dB drive, soft clip on. This is just to add tiny harmonics, so you can still perceive the bass line on smaller speakers. Then add utility. Set width to 0%. Mono, always. This is non-negotiable if you want club translation. Then set the gain so it's strong but not clipping. Also, a gain staging habit that will save you. Aim for your master peaking around minus 6 dB during the drop while you're building. Don't slap a limiter on and call it loud. Floor shake comes from headroom and controlled peaks. Step 3. The mid-bass layer. This is your Reese vibe. Your character. You're nasty. But it must stay out of the sublane. Create a new MIDI track and load Waveeatable. Set oscillator 1 to a saw or a rich Waveeatable. Oscillator 2 to square or another saw. Detune slightly. Small amounts. If you detune too much, it gets blurry fast. Add a low-pass filter and assign an LFO to the cutoff. Start with an LFO rate like 1/8 or 1/4 synced, and keep the amount subtle. You want movement, not seasickness. Now the most important mid-bass processing move, high-pass it. Put EQ8 first and high-pass around 80 to 110 HE. This is how you stop the mid-bass from bulleting your sub. Then add grit with saturator, or roar in Live 12, but keep it controlled. If you destroy the mid-bass, it will mask the break and make the drop feel smaller, not bigger. Add auto-filter if you want, and plan to automate cutoff slightly over 8 or 16 bars so the drop evolves. MIDI-wise, you can copy the same pattern from the sub as a starting point. Then you can shorten some notes, add a couple of responses in the gaps, especially around where the snare hits, so it feels like the bass is talking with the drums. Optional but super useful. If you want movement without whitening your low end, use auto pan on the mid bass with phase set to 0 degrees. That turns it into volume modulation instead of stereo panning. You get a tremble without messing up mono. Step 4. Group your bass and manage it like a system. Select the sub and mid bass tracks and group them. Name it Bass Bus. On the bus, keep processing gentle. Add EQ8 for tiny shaping only. Add glue compressor with attack around 10 milliseconds. Release auto ratio 2 to 1, and just 1 to 2 dB gain reduction. We're gluing, not crushing. A limiter as safety, ceiling around minus 0.8 dB, only catching peaks. It's not there to make it loud. It's there to prevent nasty surprises. Now step 5, sidechain. This is how you get punch without sacrificing weight. Add a normal compressor, not glue, on the sub track or on the bass bus. Turn on sidechain. Choose the kick track as the input. Start with ratio 4 to 1. Attack around 0.5 to 3 milliseconds. Release around 60 to 140 milliseconds. Lower the threshold until you see about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on each kick. Listen, don't just watch meters. If the release is too fast, the sub can flutter and feel nervous. If the release is too slow, the bass gets sucked out and the drop loses momentum. Adjust until the bass breathes with the groove. Advanced but very practical variation. Two-stage sidechain. Do lighter ducking on the sub, like 1 to 3 dB, so it stays steady. Do stronger ducking on the mid-bass, like 3 to 6 dB, so the kick and break punch through. This often sounds bigger, because the sub doesn't wobble as much. Now step 6. The arrangement. This is the secret sauce, because even a perfect bass will feel underwhelming if the drop isn't framed. We'll do a simple pre-drop, then a first hit moment, then a 16-bar blueprint. Pre-drop, 8 bars. Filter the breakdown with auto-filter, low-pass it so it feels like it's approaching from underwater. Remove the sub completely for the last bar. That absence is what makes the return feel huge. Add a simple riser or noise, and maybe a basic snare roll if you want, but don't overdo it. Here's a classic trick that makes the drop feel twice as loud without changing any levels. In the last half bar before the drop, do a hard stop. Mute the break for an eighth or a quarter note. That tiny silence creates contrast, and contrast is impact. First bar of the drop, give it space. Kick, sub, and a clean slice of break. Avoid stacking tons of extra sounds right away. Let the low end introduce itself like a headline. Now the 16-bar beginner blueprint. Bars 1 to 4. Establish the main pattern. Bars 5 to 8, small variation. Maybe one extra ghost kick or a slight bass note change. Bars 9 to 12, add a percussion layer or open hat, something that lifts energy without cluttering the low end. Bars 13 to 16, pull something out for one bar, like the mid bass or hats, then bring it back. That mini fake out is old school mentality. Simple changes, big perceived impact. Workflow tip. Drop locator markers in arrangement view. Name them things like drop A1, validation, and strip back. It keeps you from looping forever without progress. Now step 7. Low-end checks so it translates. On the master, add spectrum near the end of the chain. In a typical DNB drop, you'll often see strong energy around 40 to 70 HC. Make sure you don't have a crazy pileup below 30 HC. That's headroom death. Do the quick translation checks. First, utility on the master. Listen briefly in mono. If your bass loses power, you've got phase issues somewhere, usually a stereo effect or widening on the mid-bass, or overdone detune. Second, turn the volume way down. You should still perceive the rhythm of the bass line, even if the sub-fundamental isn't audible. If you can't, add a tiny bit more harmonic content, but do it intelligently. Here's the audible sub trick that keeps the real sub clean. Duplicate the sub MIDI to a new track. Use operator, but switch to triangle or keep sign and add more saturation. High pass that layer around 120 to 200 HC, distort it a bit, and blend it quietly. Now small speakers pick up the bass rhythm, while the real sub stays clean and strong. Common mistakes to avoid as you build. If your sub is stereo, it will feel weak and facey on big systems. Keep it mono with utility. If your mid-bass has sub content, you'll get mud and your kick will disappear. High pass the mid-bass. If you over-distort the sub, it'll sound huge solo and collapse in the mix. Use subtle saturation only. If you skip side chain or set the release wrong, the kick and bass will fight. Tune it until it grooves. If your drop is cluttered on the first hit, it won't feel impactful. Start with fewer layers.